You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
You, Elder, my people.
Good afternoon to you, brother. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
Fine, thanks. I'm glad the line is clear today. Can you get me, huh?
Clear as day, man. Fantastic, fantastic to have you on board. Yeah. Well, we're continuing to talk about our Scripture in Motion, the discussion that we've been having.
And in today's conversation,
I'm getting feedback. I'm not sure what's happening.
Let me see.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Get you.
All right. Yeah. That's fine. Now, in today's conversation, we're tackling a profound question. What is the true purpose of spiritual mentorship? Is it just about gaining knowledge, finding comfort, or having someone to walk with us through life's challenges? Now, while all of these things are important, we believe the ultimate goal is far more transformative. I want to explore the true measure of a mentor's success and a mentee's journey. Now, my elder, how does the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20 ensure continuity and expansion of faith through discipleship?
Thank you so much, my leader. You've rightly phrased it. It is said one is only successful if they ensure that what they've started, there's a successor. Mm. Somebody picks up from there. Mm-hmm. And the Great Commission ensures that there's continuity of faith in that. First of all, when Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you," that is called the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion.
Yeah.
This is a mandate. It means that Jesus is actually giving us a mandate, and this shows that Christianity is designed to continue through mentorship. This is how the Great Commission ensures continuity. The goal is action. It requires movement. This means that faith grows when believers step out to mentor and disciple others. Then it says, teach all nations. This means instruction. Every believer becomes a teacher of the gospel. It's not just the work for pastors, elders, and name them. Mm-hmm. Baptizing them. This means initiating new believers into the family of God.
Yep.
Mentorship begins a conversion. You are busy sharing the values and principles. So this that statement, go therefore, is loaded. It says, teaching them to observe. This means this teaching them to observe is continuous. It's ongoing growth. The teaching does not end. We do not just teach information. We guide transformation. Mm. So this teaching them to observe is a continuous process. Then he tells us to say, I am with you always.
Yep.
That's empowerment. Jesus himself partners with us in every mentorship journey. So the Great Commission is God's strategy for preserving and multiplying faith across generations, ensuring that what began then continues beyond us.
Please talk to us about the ultimate goal of mentorship being spiritual maturity in Christ, as expressed in Colossians 1:28, which tells us, him we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ.
Thank you. Paul aptly puts it in that this Jesus we preach is the ultimate. I think we even referred to it yesterday. He's the ultimate goal of spiritual mentorship is Christ-likeness. It's Christ-likeness in that we should grow into the image of our ultimate mentor. Mentorship is not about gaining followers for the mentor. Mentorship is not about creating dependency, creating this little creature who depends upon you for knowledge, wisdom, and guidance, and without you, they know not what to do with themselves. No, it doesn't create that dependency. It's not about producing copies of ourselves. The true goal of mentorship is Christ-likeness. What spiritual maturity looks like is what we find in Galatians 5:22-23. It means growing in character. That is, those are the fruits of spiritual maturity. Growing in character, growing in understanding, growing in obedience, growing in service, growing in purpose. Mentorship points people to Jesus. Like a guide board, you are telling them, go ye this way. So the mentor guides, the mentor will guide, but Jesus transforms. The mentor teaches, but it's Christ who perfects the character. The mentor walks with you, but Christ lives in you. So we find that the destination of mentorship is not the mentor themselves. It is Jesus Christ. So the mentor is not leading people to himself, but pointing them to the great mentor, the ultimate mentor, who is Christ himself.
Yeah, very important. Now, how does the idea of mutual growth reflect the sentiment that two are better than one?
Lovely. Thank you. There are a few undertakings in this world that really succeed where it is a solo project or a solo pursuit. Mentorship is not a one-sided journey. Even the mentors grow as they mentor. The mentees and themselves are growing. This is like Paul says, even as you water, I also been watered. So you find that because of the mutual growth in mentorship, like Ecclesiastes puts it, just said, two are better than one. For if they fall, one will lift his fellow. This is very important because where there are two people in that mentorship relationship, there's support. Both mentor and mentee lift each other up spiritually. The mentor may be strong in one area or have a weakness where the mentee is naturally endowed with strength in an area. So, in fact, I would give you a practical example. In the Reformation, you had Martin Luther, who was a man who said to fear and who feared nothing. And sometimes, because of fearlessness, he wanted to make certain hasty decisions. But God paired him with a younger person who was his friend, Professor Melanchthon. And he was very timid, very cautious, and giving a lot of thought to the decisions he made. So before they would make a decision where Martin Luther would want to go ahead first before thinking through, Melanchthon would make them reconsider and think things through thoroughly. And where Melanchthon was very slow, Luther's courage would push them forward. So the work of God moved in a balanced order. There is support. Two, you've got strength. When one is weak, the other provides encouragement. Three, I would say safety. Accountability helps prevent spiritual falls. If people are not accountable to anybody, this is why belonging to a community of faith is very important, because you find people who hold you accountable. We didn't see you last time when I changed. You're supposed to be here. You didn't see you last Sabbath. You didn't join the prayer meeting. All that holds you accountable, and there's a safety in that. It will avoid certain unnecessary spiritual falls. Then shared wisdom. Wisdom flows in both directions. It's not just the mentor who's the mentee who's benefiting. The mentor is also getting wisdom from the mentee as they share experiences. So across generations and experiences, we reach out for it. Then mentorship is partnership, in short.
Yeah.
Although roles differ, both walk toward Christ. The mentor will be closer to Christ because he's been watered as he's watered in others. So no believer, in short, is meant to grow alone. And mentorship provides that partnership which can help you towards the getting closer to Christ-likeness and to our Creator.
Now, tell me, my elder, in what other ways can mentorship fulfill the command to love one another?
Thank you. Mentorship is very practical, and it provides us an opportunity to show this practical expression of Christian love. How does it do this? Mentorship fulfills the command to love one another in this way. Love through presence. Remember, there are so many of those, love languages. Basically, you find it gives an opportunity. I like to say this. I tell people to say, God's love language is obedience. If you love him, obey him. That's his love language.
Yeah.
But then for us as human beings, it gives us an expression of this love. For example, through presence. As the mentor walks with others in their spiritual journey, he is giving of himself. Through his presence, he's expressing love. Two, through guidance, helping someone avoid mistakes is an act of love. If I have gone through things that I were painful and I want to protect the people I am talking to, mentoring or the next generation from going through that, it is an act of love. Then also through accountability, correcting in gentleness, like Galatians 6:1 tells us, is an action of love. Love also through encouragement. Building someone up in faith is a reflection of Christ's love. Loving through sacrifice. The mentorship costs time. It costs effort. It costs prayer. It costs patience and sometimes finances. So it is an act of sacrifice. And last I checked, sacrifice. Yes, one could sacrifice without love, but love cannot love without sacrifice. So we see that mentorship provides this opportunity to actually express love through sacrifice. And the world, by the way, recognizes the church through mentorship. They see that we are guiding, even governments are always talking, the church should play an advisory, in other words, mentorship role, because this is important. That's how we express love in practice.
Now, how does the mentor benefit from the mentorship relationship in general?
The mentor.
Yep.
All right. So,
yep.
In fact, by this, Christ says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. When you find that the mentor is giving of his time, resources, he's also growing. In fact, when there's that intentional mentorship, not only is the mentee growing, but the mentor is also becoming stronger. And in some ways, the mentor is feeling supported and is growing even in confidence, because he sees that his experiences, sometimes the things he's gone through, he or she has gone through in their lives may not have made sense. But as they give of and can guide, mentor somebody, some of the dots will connect. They realize that this is why God allowed me to go through this so many years ago, that I could be a guideboard for this person. So they grow in confidence of their calling, of their mission, and they also are being transformed. Remember, their journey is not done. Then also they'll see that Jesus is being seen by the world through them. The world will see Jesus through them because they are becoming closer and closer like him. Remember the goal we said was Christ-likeness? Mm-hmm. This, as they are helping the mentee, they are also being helped in so many ways.
Right. Now, you know, we were talking about this mentorship, and it seems to be a beautiful thing. And of course, we're talking about it in the Christian context. But there are other contexts that are also having a mentor-mentee relationship. For instance, you have people in the business space, in workspaces, in education spaces. And I often find that it's not a really love one another relationship, especially when you go to education spaces where, for instance, one is having a mentor, I would say a mentor, but they call it a supervisor, supervising them for their, a PhD masters, etc. And you find that relationship has got a passionate hate. Are those relationships supposed to mirror a Christian relationship, kind of a mentoring program?
I think ideally mentorship, like you said, should have a selfless component from both mentee and mentor. I think we addressed the other responsibilities and roles.
What happened there now? My goodness. My elder? All right, I see that we got lost there, but I was really, really getting into a very fascinating part of our discussion there with Elder Mapipo, really talking about this mentorship issue. You know, mentorship between, those who are in the academic space, business space, and sometimes it's not a lovely, beautiful, warm, honky-dory kind of a relationship, yet it's got to happen. So we want to check what is it that we can learn in the space of Christianity, or if it actually should be mirroring, that space. My elder, are you back on the line?
Yes, I am. Thanks.
Yes, I do apologize for that. I think we got cut off. We were still looking at the mentorship in the academic and other spaces, and if it should mirror the Christian mentorship space.
Yes, sir. Ideally, the Christian, or let me just say, the biblical standard is the God standard. In all social relationships, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. This supersedes supervisor, student relationship, departmental head and subordinate relationships, because ultimately, if it involves people, God has defined how people should do with each other. You should love your neighbor as yourself. That's a God standard. We know we fall short of that. But if we are to live, and we are not only Christians in Christian spaces or community when we are church, but everywhere we find ourselves in schools, churches, hospitals, anywhere we find ourselves, we should then reflect those values. When you are the supervisor, you are higher, you are dealing with a student, those the same way you put yourself for you to reach that level, you were supervised by others. Mm. And there may have been things that you were not happy with, the way maybe they brushed you the wrong way. Make sure that you do not relieve or make this mentee of yours, student you are supervising, go through the same way.
Mm.
Through the same path. Even in the office space, you remember when you came in as a graduate trainee or an intern, and then there were those who were there before we were entrusted to, who may have rubbed you the wrong way and made your path harder than it was supposed to be. Make sure you pay it forward. Don't repeat those things. You being a Christian, you who are supposed to know better should do better. So the standard is that love your neighbor as you would yourself. Yeah. So whatever spaces we find ourselves in, that's the kind of values and where we should operate. That becomes the model.
Mm, mm, mm. Well, my elder, I must thank you so much for your time and coming through. Always, always fascinating to have these conversations with you. I do hope that we will connect once again. Tomorrow is a Friday to conclude this discussion that we've been having since Monday. Thank you so, so much for coming through.
Thank you so much, Marie. Stay blessed.
Thank you. Stay blessed.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.